بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله موجد الموجودات، الحمد لله خالق المخلوقات، الحمد لله مكون الكائنات، الحمد لله بارئ البريات، الحمد لله علام الغيوب والشهادات، حمدا لا ينتهي ولا ينقضي ما مضت الساعات. الحمد لله الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات، حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه ملء الأرض والسماوات. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله، عالم الخفيات. اغفر لنا ربنا الذنات، وكفر عنا الخطايا والسيئات، فلله الشكر كله والتحيات. وصلوات الله الزاكيات، وتسليماته الطيبات المباركات، على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين بالآيات البينات والمعجزات الظاهرات والدلالات الساطعات، وعلى آله الطاهرين وأزواجه الطاهرات، وعلى أصحابه النجوم السائرات، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم يبعث فيه الميتون والميتات. بحمد الله بلغنا الختام، وتم المراد ونيل المرام، فحمدا كثيرا وشكرا مزيدا لمعطي العطايا الكبار العظام. ورضي الله عنا وعن والدينا ووالد الكريم، وقدوتي ومولاي مولانا محمد بن يوسف بسم الله، وعن أساتذتنا ومدير المدرسة العربية الإسلامية فضيلة الشيخ الأستاذ فخر الإسلام حضره مولانا عبد الحميد إسحاق، وأدخلنا الرحمن الفراديس الفوز، وأراحنا زينبات الجنان مع المهرة من العلماء البارزين والصلحاء الفائقين، وأطال أعذارنا بالعافية والعفة والرفادة. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن خير الأمور عوازمها، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. فحدثنا الإمام العلامة المحدث المتقن المفتي الأعظم الفقيه الأبصر عالم إمام شيخنا وسيدنا ومولانا محمد سعيد متارة عن الشيخ محمد أيوب الأعظمي عن المحدث الجليل أنور شاه الكشميري. وحدثنا العلامة المحدث النجيب عالم إمام حبر رفيع المقام الشيخ موسى محمد بتير عن الشيخ أحمد إبراهيم بيمات عن الشيخ حسين أحمد المدني كلاهما عن الإمام الهمام شيخ الهند محمود حسن الديوبندي عن الشمتين النيرين قاسم العلوم والخيرات محمد قاسم النانوتوي وفقيه العصر قطب الإرشاد رشيد أحمد الجنجوهي كلاهما عن العارف بالله الشيخ عبد الغني المجددي الدهلوي ثم المدني عن الإمام الحجة مسند الهند الشاه محمد إسحاق الدهلوي عن جده لأمه سراج الهند الشاه عبد العزيز الدهلوي عن والده إمام الهند ومسنده قطب الدين أحمد بن عبد الرحيم الفاروقي المحدث الدهلوي الشهير بالشاه ولي الله عن الشيخ محمد بن إبراهيم الكوزي ثم المدني عن والده الشيخ إبراهيم بن حسن الكوزي الكوراني ثم المدني عن الشيخ أحمد بن محمد القشاشي المالكي المدني عن الشيخ أحمد بن علي بن عبد القدوس الشناوي المصري ثم المدني عن الشيخ شمس الدين محمد بن أحمد الرملي المنوفي المصري عن شيخ الإسلام فتري بن محمد الأنصاري عن حافظ الدنيا شهاب الدين أحمد بن علي بن حجر الأسقلاني ثم القاهري عن الشيخ زين الدين إبراهيم بن أحمد التنوخي عن الشيخ أحمد بن أبي طالب الحجار عن الشيخ سراج الدين حسين بن مبارك الزبيري عن الشيخ عبد الأول بن عيسى السجزي الهروي عن الشيخ عبد الرحمن بن محمد بن المظفر البوزنجيشي الداودي عن الشيخ عبد الله بن أحمد بن حموية السرخسي عن الشيخ محمد بن يوسف بن مطر الفربري عن شيخه صاحب الكتاب إمام المحدثين الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المغيرة بن برزبه اليماني الجعفي مولاهم البخاري رحمه الله تعالى رحمة واسعة، ورحمة الله واسعة، ونفعنا ومتعنا بفيوضهم وعلومهم وبركاتهم في الدارين آمين. قال باب قول الله تعالى ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن. وقال مجاهد القسطاس العدل بالرومية ويقال القط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل، وأما القاسط فهو الجائر. حدثنا أحمد بن إشكاب قال حدثنا محمد بن صديل عن عمارة بن القعقاع عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه وعنهم قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن، خفيفتان على اللسان، ثقيلتان في الميزان، سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض. الحمد لله الذي جعل الليل والنهار. الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا القرآن وجعله هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. الحمد لله الذي من على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. الحمد لله الذي أكرمنا وشرفنا بالعلماء الربانيين والأولياء المتقين والمفسرين والمحدثين والأئمة المجتهدين والقراء الفائقين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. الحمد لله الذي أكرمنا وشرفنا بالإمام الهمام الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله تعالى، نفعنا الله بعلومه وفيوضه. الحمد لله الذي أعزنا بهذا الكتاب العزيز الذي يتصف بأصح الكتب بعد كتاب الله، وهو الجامع المسند الصحيح المختصر من أمور رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وسننه وأيامه. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وخير الأمور عوازمها، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، وبالسند المتصل منا إلى الإمام الهمام الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله تعالى أنه قال: باب قول الله تعالى: ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة، وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم جوزا. وقال مجاهد: القسطاس العدل بالرومية. ويقال: القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل، وأما القاسط فهو الجائر. وبه قال حدثنا أحمد بن أشكال قال حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن عمارة بن القعقاع عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى أنه قال: قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن، خفيفتان على اللسان، ثقيلتان في الميزان، سبحان الله بحمده سبحان الله العظيم. معزز علماء الكرام، my beloved students of deen, elders, brothers in Islam, we begin first of all by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our nourisher, our cherisher, our sustainer, our guiding light, our source of solace and comfort, even in the darkest moments of our lives. We then beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His choicest salutations, blessings, and peace upon our noble master, our spiritual mentor, the man that was sent as a mercy to the entire mankind, the man that brought the nur of the sunnah in our lives, none other than Muhammad al-Mustafa, Ahmad al-Mushtaba, Sarkari do Kainat, Aqai Namdar, Aqai Gumbad al-Khadra, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are indeed seated in a very noble gathering, a Mubarak gathering, a gathering, a majlis in which the completion of Sahih Bukhari is going to take place. This is no ordinary kitab. This is the most authentic book on the face of this planet after the Quran Kareem. Such is the auspiciousness of this gathering. And just as on the completion of the Quran Kareem, du'as are accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, experience has shown, our akabir, our elders, have mentioned, even written, the du'a that are made upon the takmeel completion of Bukhari Sharif are also assured acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, some ulama have written mustaqil, separate booklets on this topic. For example, Muhammad bin Ali ibn al-Alan has written a book, Al-Wajh al-Sabih fi Khatm al-Jami' al-Sahih. In that book he mentions that this Bukhari Sharif is such a noble book that when tatmeel, completion of the book takes place and du'as are made, those du'as are accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, he mentioned a very interesting incident in that book about the town of Zabid. Zabid is a coastal town in Yemen. So he writes about the town that لَمَّا حُسِرَ الزَّبِيدِ وَأَحَاتَ بِيَ الْعَدُوُ وَكَانَ أَنْ يَأْخُذَهَا حَمَّ الْكَرْبُ الشَّدِيدِ وَالْغَمُّ الْمَزِيدِ. That when the town of Zabid was under siege, it was surrounded by the enemy. People were overwhelmed with severe distress, with intense grief, feeling that the town, the city, will fall into the hands of the enemy. So the ulama of the time got together. فَقَرَأُوا الْجَامِعَ الصَّحِيحَ الزَّاءَ الزَّاؤُهَ فَلَمَّا كَانَ الصَّبِيحَةُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ تَفَرَّقَ الْعَدُوُ مِنْ غَيْرِ سَبَبٍ مَحْسُوسٍ. He says the ulama got together and made khatam of Bukhari Sharif. They distributed it in different parts among the ulama. Made khatam of this kitab, and the miracle then occurred that for no apparent reason, the enemy forces were overwhelmed with fear and awe, and they dispersed without touching the city. Allah Ta'ala protected the city by virtue of khatam of this Bukhari Sharif. In recent times, we're talking about when the Israeli-Arab war took place. There were a number of Israeli-Arab wars. First one in about 1949, then in the 1950s, a very famous war in 1967 that was known as the Six-Day War. On one side was a coalition of Arab countries like Syria, Jordan, Egypt, Iraq. On the other hand, Israeli forces. This war commenced in that year, 1967, as the Sheikh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, was in Medina Munawwara in the month of Ramadan. Normally he would make i'tikaf in Madarim, Saharanpur, but that year he was in Hijaz, so he performed i'tikaf with his associates in Masjid al-Nabawi. Many ulama made i'tikaf with him. Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf bin Nuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was also present on that occasion. When news of this war breaking out reached the Muslims in Madinah Munawwara, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali suggested to the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali that we need to organize a khatam of Bukhari Sharif. That to the barakah of this khatam, Allah Ta'ala's divine assistance will come. And the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said to Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that this is not the work of a layman to recite Bukhari Sharif. We need ulama to recite the Bukhari Sharif. And then we will get the separate paras. Because Bukhari Sharif also, like the Quran, is partitioned into 30 paras. In some places, these paras are also printed separately, like you get the Quran Kareem also printed in separate paras. So Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was concerned, where will we get so many ulama? Where will we obtain these paras? هذا مؤسس من نوري رحمة الشهد هذا الشيخ رحمة الله علي حضرة يودون غوري You have many ulama with you in Antikaf this year in Madinah Munawwara. I have some ulama with me as well. We will look for the paras. They went around to the ulama, to the madaris, eventually managed to accumulate the separate 50 paras of Bukhari Sharif. And the Khatam commenced at about 4 p.m. By 6 p.m. in 2 hours, the Khatam was completed. Once the Khatam was completed, announcement came over the radio that the war had ended. This was the barakah of Khatam of Bukhari Sharif. Many other ulama have also written about du'as being accepted on the occasion of the completion of Bukhari Sharif. Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi has written in Huda al-Sari, which is the muqaddimah of Fath al-Bari. He writes there too about the virtue of du'as being accepted when Bukhari Sharif is completed. In fact, when he completed his magnum opus commentary of Bukhari Sharif, which is the most famous commentary, Fath al-Bari, he himself invited ulama and non-ulama on that occasion. And they got together, engaged in du'a. The du'a was accepted. Hafiz ibn Hajar has also written elsewhere, فقال لنا جمال الدين محمد بن علي الحمداني قرأنا البخاري في نوبة حمص لضغط البلاء. He said, جمال الدين محمد بن علي الحمداني said to me that when a pandemic hit the town of Hims, also known as Homs in Syria, then the ulama got together and recited made Khatam of Bukhari Sharif to alleviate the pandemic. And we saw the fruits, the benefits of it. In Irshad al-Sari, Allama Qastarani rahmatullahi, he quotes Ibn Abi Jamra with regard to Bukhari Sharif. Ibn Abu Jamra says that ما قرئ الصحيح في شدة إلا فرجت وَمَا رُكِمَا فِي مَرْكَبِ فَغَرَقَ. And whenever difficulty comes upon the Ummah, if Khatam of Bukhari Sharif takes place, Allah Ta'ala alleviates the difficulty. And if a ship carries his book on board, that ship will never sink. Such is the barakah of this kitab. And Imam Tajib ibn Subki rahmatullahi, he mentioned that in the Jam al-Sahih, وكونه ملجا للمعضلات ومجربا لقضاء الحوائج فامر مشهور. He says, this book, the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, is such that reciting this book through his virtue, through his barakat, Allah Ta'ala alleviates many problems of the world. It is sufficient for the fulfillment of people's needs. This is an accepted fact among the ulama. Amr al-Mashur, well known. Hazrat Mawashah Abdul Aziz Ta Muhaddith al-Dhani wa rahmatullahi, in Bistan al-Muhaddithin, he also writes that inna qira'at al-sahih inda shiddati wa khawf al-adu wal marad wal jaddi والقحط دواء مجرب. The recitation of Bukhari Sharif at the time of difficulty, when there is fear of the enemy, when people are struck with illnesses, when there is famine, when there is drought, this is a well-accepted remedy, formula, solution for all the problems of the ummah. Such is the barakah of this book. Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullahi, who was a mufassir as well as a muhaddith, he mentioned that if Bukhari Sharif is recited and completed with the intention of cure, inshallah it will provide a cure and remedy from many, many ailments. Such is this auspicious book. And this is a book that will be completed. And why should it not have that effect? When the compiler of this book spent 16 years, after 16 years of arduous effort, this book came to fruition and was presented before the Islamic world. When Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah completed this book, even though he was very meticulous, ensuring that only authentic Sahih Ahadith are recorded in his book, and this was after encouragement from his Ustaz Ishaq ibn Rahway Rahmatullahi, who once exclaimed among the students that if only some student of mine would make an effort to compile only authentic hadith of Rasulullah Kareem Sa'azam, that inspired him. And then he was so dream, may ziyarat of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sometimes Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah himself saw the dream. He made ziyarat of Rasulullah Kareem Sa'azam. The flies are swarming around Nabiya Kareem Sa'azam, wanting to sit on the body of Nabiya Kareem Sa'azam. And Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah in the dream, he is sending the flies away, swatting them away. So the Buzruk of the time, expert in interpretation, was asked the meaning of the dream. He said, Imam Bukhari Rahmatullahi, Allah will utilize him to remove unauthentic hadith being attributed to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he will collate and collect only Sahih hadith, and the dream came true. After he completed his book, he did not suffice on his own knowledge. He presented the book to four of his predominant asatira, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Rahmatullahi, Ishaq ibn Rahway, Yahya bin Ma'in, Ali bin Madini. If they expressed reservation, if they questioned any single hadith, if they put a red flag on any hadith, immediately removed that hadith from the kitab. So meticulous he was. When he completed the book, he was overwhelmed, overtaken with joy, that Allah Ta'ala took this noble work from me after 16 years of effort. He made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, presented it in the court of Allah, saying, Ja'altuhu bayni wa bayna Allah hujjah. I present this book, this kitab, between me and Allah Ta'ala as a testimonial, hoping that Allah Ta'ala will make this kitab the means for my salvation. And no ordinary book, this book primarily is printed in two volumes. In both the volumes, he brought about sections of the kitab, of the entire book, sections known as kitab, like Kitab al-Iman, Kitab al-Ilm, Kitab al-Tawheed, so forth and so on. All in all, in these two volumes, there are about 97 these type of different sections. Under each kitab, under each section, there are different chapters, known as Tarajim al-Awwab, which is a very integral part of Bukhari Sharif. The famous saying, Fiqh al-Bukhari fi Tarajimi. The juristic expertise of Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah can be gauged from his chapter headings. Tarajimi, chapter headings. So there are about 3,918 chapter headings in this entire kitab. Under each chapter, several ahadith. All in all, from a memory bank of 600,000 ahadith, Imam Bukhari has sifted through them and recorded this book with repetitions, according to one opinion, 75 hadith. Another opinion, 7,563 hadith. So there is a difference of opinion about the number above 7,000, but there is a consensus that definitely there are more than 7,000 hadith in this book. Before putting pen to paper, before recording each hadith, Imam Bukhari used to take a ghusl, a ritual bath. Then he performed two rakat, nafal, with the name of Salatul Istikhara, seeking goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking direction. When Allah Ta'ala put his heart at ease, that yes, this hadith is sahih, it is authentic, then only he would put pen to paper. So if there are minimum 7,000 hadith, two rakats performed before penning down a single hadith, 7,000 times 2, 14,000 rakats of nafl were performed before this book came into existence. Allah Ta'ala wanted to take words from him. Born in the year 194 Hijri, 13th of Shawwal, day of Jummah, passed away in the year 256 Hijri, lived for only 62 years, yet Allah Ta'ala took such phenomenal words from him. With this book, Sahih Bukhari, is taught and read throughout the Islamic world in practically every higher learning of education with regard to Madaris, the Darul Ulum, etc. Such is my acceptance of this book, that a person cannot be considered truly an alim until he completes studying of this book, Bukhari Sharif. Such is the virtue of this book. So 14,000 rakats performed before the book came to fruition. Allah wanted to take words from him. He was born perfectly healthy, but in his infancy, due to some ailment, he lost his eyesight. His father had already passed away. He was an orphan. His mother was a single parent, rearing him, nurturing him. She had many aspirations for her son. She became very grieved that my son had lost his eyesight. She engaged in dua. The dua of a mother is readily accepted in the court of Allah. So one night, after making fervent dua, she saw in a dream my ziyarat of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. She could have seen some other Nabi also, but I think perhaps because in his lineage, the name Ibrahim comes, Muhammad bin Ismail bin Ibrahim. His grandfather was Ibrahim. So she saw in the dream Ibrahim alayhi salam giving glad tidings that, "Oh, bondswoman of Allah, get up, go to the bed of your little child, and you will find that his vision has been restored." She went to his bed and found, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's qudrat, Allah Ta'ala's power. Vision was totally restored. Not only restored, but it became so acute and so sharp that late in later years, when he began to accumulate and study hadith, the science of hadith, he wrote one of his famous books, At-Tarikh al-Kabir, and the Moonlight. You know, the light of the moon is not so bright. He wrote the entire book on the moonlight, which is published nowadays in 9 thick volumes. In that kitab, he provided the profile of 40,000 narrators. Such was the divine assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This highlighted the importance of this book But the man behind the book, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, no ordinary personality. His piety, his taqwa was unparalleled. On one occasion, after performing Zuhr Fard Salah, he commenced two rakaz nafar, lengthy two rakaz of nafar. Then he was full khushu and khudu, totally focused, totally oblivious of his surroundings, focused on the creator. After performing the lengthy two rakaz, not even moving, not flinching, unnecessarily in those two rakaz, when he made salam, then he felt something walking on his chest. He said to the students around him, I left my kurta, maybe there's some insect on my chest. They found a wasp. The wasp had stung him 70 times on the chest. Yet he did not feel that while performing salah. Such was the level of concentration. And further with regard to his piety, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah used to say, مَخْتَبْتُ أَحَدًا مُنْدُ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّ الْغِيبَةَ تَضُرُّ أَهْلَهُ. And since I learned that ghibat, backbiting, harms the person who indulges in backbiting, he jeopardizes the akhirat. By backbiting, we indulge in human rights abuse. Because of human rights abuse, we will have to give our good deeds away to those whom we abuse. So he says, since I learned that backbiting harms a person, I never backbited about anyone. On one occasion he said, إِنِّي لَأَرْجُوا أَنْ أَلْقَى اللَّهَ وَلَا يُحَاسِبُنِي أَنْ يَخْتَبْتُ أَحَدًا. I have full hope that I shall meet my Creator in such a condition that He will not hold me accountable for having backbited about anyone whatsoever. Such was his taqwa and his piety. This was Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. And this is a kitab you, O beloved students, are completing on this occasion, will be graduating as ulama. Very, very important. Because of occasion, some parting advice for our beloved students, who are our spiritual children, in fact. We regard them as our children. We need to give them advice time and again. So some parting advice, which I direct first and foremost to myself. First and foremost, do not undervalue the knowledge that you have acquired on the 6-year journey of yours. This ilm al-sharia, ilm al-nubuwwah, knowledge from the lamp of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowledge of sharia. Do not acquire inferiority complex thinking that so-and-so friend of mine became a doctor, so-and-so became an engineer, so-and-so is a lawyer, so-and-so is an accountant, so-and-so is an IT specialist. I have been left behind. Na'uzu billah. You have not been left behind. You are far ahead of them. This is ilm al-nubuwwah, the best knowledge on the face of this planet. So value it. Do not have an inferiority complex. But at the same time also, do not have a superiority complex. Regard it as a bounty, a boon from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without Allah ta'ala's fadl, without Allah's grace, I would not have reached this milestone. A person can be the wealthiest person in the world, the richest king in the world, famous dignitary, but he cannot even compare to a student of Islamic knowledge. The famous hadith that our students hear from the very first day they put their step into the four walls of the madrasa. That man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fi ilman sahhala Allah lahu tariqan ila al-jannah. And the person who treads the path comes onto the road of knowledge to acquire beneficial deenly knowledge, Allah will make easy for him the path to Jannah. وَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَتَضَعُ أَجْلِحَتَهَا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ لِذَنْبِ مَا يَصْنَعُ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Look at this accolade. You can have the greatest president, king, prime minister, dignitary of the world. The most honor you get, red carpet treatment, red carpet laid out for him. But for students of deenly knowledge, the malaika spread out their wings for that person. That is your red carpet. No king, no president, no prime minister, no dignitary can enjoy that. وَإِنَّ الْعَالِمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ حَتَّى الْحِيْتَانِ فِي الْمَاءِ أو كما قال الإسلام. An alim, person of knowledge, deep knowledge, everything in the heavens and the earth makes right the far away. So much so that fish in the bottom of the ocean, they also make dua. Where will you find this virtue? Where will you find this accolade in secular education? Which is why on one occasion, another Shaykh, Mullah Muhammad Zakir Atam Rahmatullahi, went to Lahore to meet his khulafa, his muridin, associates, to bid farewell to them. When he made hijrah permanently to Madinah Munawwara, in one madrasa was a huge gathering of ulama students, and they requested Shaykh Rahmatullahi to give a few advices, say a few words. And Shaykh Rahmatullahi was not a public orator. He was arena was classroom. That is where he used to shine. But the ulama insisted some advice at least. So he said very few words. Among those words he said to the ulama, "Ey Maulviyo, apni qadar ko pehchano." O ulama, recognize your worth, your value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not undermine, underestimate what you have learned in the four walls of the madrasa. But now you need to practice upon it and spread it throughout the world. Hazrat Abu al-Hattab rahmatullah used to say, the talib al-ilm is a truncated, abbreviated title given to you. Your full title is talib al-ilm wal-amal. Seeker of knowledge and seeker of practice. To put that knowledge into practice. That is very important, very essential. And living in the four walls of the madrasa, Muhtamun Sahib, Zahar Barakatuh, Edmund, Asatira, other staff have instilled in you certain values, a certain manhaj, certain ideology, methodology. Stick to it. Do not abandon that ideology. famous saying in Arabic or rather in English, that the apple does not fall far from the tree. So remain connected to your alma mater. As far as the manhaj is concerned, as far as the ideology is concerned, unfortunately, we get complaints. Many of our students graduate from here, they go into the environment because of peer pressure or because of other reasons. We find even our graduates, may Allah guide them, they start appearing on YouTube videos. They allow themselves to be photographed, to be videoed. Because every second movie is on YouTube. Why should we be left behind? That should not be the case. This is not the methodology taught to you in that madrasa. Wherever you go, even if you have a lone sheep, finger alone, they brand you orthodox, fundamentalist, behind the times, living in the stone age. Don't become perturbed by the criticism. Stick to your manhaj for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will see divine assistance, help coming to you in unimaginable ways. What does the hadith say? إِنَّا أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَذَابًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْمُصَوِّرُونَ أو كما قال الإسلام. The people who will be afflicted on the day of Qiyamah with the worst punishment are those who make pictures of animate objects, image makers. A severe warning comes in one hadith. يخرج عنق يوم القيامة لها عينان تبصران بها بهما وأذنان تسمع بهما ولسان تنطق بها ويقول إني وكلت بثلاثة بكل جبار عنيد وبمن جعل مع الله إلها آخر وبالمصورين أو كما قال الإسلام a neck will emerge from Jahannam, the neck of a creature. It will have two eyes with which it will see, two ears with which it will listen, a tongue with which it will speak. It will say to the people, I have been commanded to pick up and throw into fire, into the fire of Jahannam. Three types of people. One is a stubborn tyrant. Second is a person who ascribes partners to Allah. And the third person, the image makers. They take pictures of animate objects, of living beings. Yes, for necessity, ID, passport, there is some leverage for it. Otherwise, it's a no-no. Another complaint, Allah protect us, students graduate, people bring complaints that your graduate is trimming his beard, which is haram. Wajib compulsory to keep the beard, grow the beard, up to a foot length at least, below the chin, on either side of the cheeks as well. Yet you get thrust into the environment of the West. You begin to ape them, imitate them. Graduate, trimming the beard. Allah give us hidayah. Graduates running from here, allowing the garments to dangle over the ankles. For which severe warnings come in the hadith. مَا أَسْفَلَ مِنَ الْإِذَارِ مِنَ الْكَعْبَيْنِ فَفِي النَّارِ that portion of the ankle that are covered with the upper garment, they deserve to burn in the fire of hell. So we need to keep to that manhaj, that ideology, the values that have been instilled into us while staying in the four walls of this madrasa. The last hadith on Bukhari Sharif, as I mentioned, Fiqh al-Bukhari fi Tarajimi, the juristic expertise of Imam Bukhari can be gauged from the chapter headings. What is the purport of this final chapter? What is the reason for bringing this up? This hadith mentioned under Kitab al-Tawheed وَالْرَبِّ عَلَى جَهْمِيَةِ وَغَيْرِ, the book on Tawheed. Tawheed basically aqaid of the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaat and the refutation, rebuttal of deviated groups such as Jahmiya and other groups, whether they are the Rawafi Shias, whether they are the Khawarij, whether they are the Murjiya, Mu'tazila, whatever the case may be. So in particular, in this chapter, Imam Bukhari makes a rebuttal of the deviated sect, group known as Mu'tazila. The founder of the group was a person by the name of Wasil bin Atta. He and his cronies adopted beliefs that were contrary to that of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. One classic example is this, that the Mu'tazila, when a Quranic verse or hadith of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes before them, in order to accept that verse or the hadith on face value, to accept it, they use their logic as a benchmark, yardstick. That if that verse or the hadith appeals to the logic, to the common sense, they will accept it on face value. Otherwise, they will interpret it in a figurative sense and not take the literal meaning of it. So the purpose of this chapter is to refute the Mu'tazila who say that on the day of Qiyamah, scales of justice will not be erected to weigh the action of the creation. Where this verse from Surah Anbiya, verse number 47, states clearly, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, we shall erect scales of justice on the day of Qiyamah. We shall weigh people's amal, the actions. So according to us, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, there will be a physical scale. Literally there will be a scale that will be used to weigh the amal deeds of mankind. But the Mu'tazila, they say there will be no physical scale. What this actually means, that Allah will establish justice. Allah will not oppress. So they take the figurative meaning into account. They could not fathom that how there will be a physical scale. A scale is used to determine the weight of an object. You go to a greengrocer, fill that plastic bag, let's say with potatoes. You don't know the weight, shopkeepers don't know the weight until it is put on the scale. And according to the weight, price is calculated. Allah is alimun bidhat as-sudur. Allah knows everything. Why would Allah Ta'ala want to weigh our amal when it's already aware? So this is the one argument they raise The answer to this is that this will be done for Itmam al-Hujjah. To let people's arguments be laid to rest. Very good person. Evil deeds outweigh his good deeds. And he's doomed to go into the fire of Jahannam. You will have no reason to argue. Seeing is believing. You saw with your own eyes that the pen of evil deeds has outweighed my pen of good deeds. And if another person is successful, his good deeds outweigh the evil deeds. He cannot complain that there was favoritism. He saw with his own eyes and that person's good deeds outweighed his evil deeds. So Allah Ta'ala through His grace, Fadal, Allah Ta'ala sent him to Jannah. Another argument they raise, a'mal ashfil are abstract, intangible. It has no physical form. How can it go on to a scale? For example, the words I'm speaking, as they emanate from my lips, they disappear into thin air. You can't get hold of it, put it in your pocket. It's abstract, intangible. Man's actions are intangible. How can you put that on a scale? So that's why we deny that there will be no literal scale, no physical scale. So various replies have been given. One reply, the actual person will be weighed. And proof of this, in a hadith of Bukhari Sharif, in Kitab al-Tafsir, إِنَّهُ لَيَأْتِ الرَّجُلُ الْعَظِيمُ السَّمِيمُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا يَزِنُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوذَةٍ Or كَمَا قَالَ بِسْلَاتِسَلَمُ One person will be brought on the day of Qiyamah. He himself will be put on the scale. And yet bodily, physical mass, weight will not be taken. But the weight will be a spiritual mass, spiritual weight, in accordance with his amal. So his amal will be so rotten, his good deeds will not be even equivalent to the wing of a mosquito. So one reply given, the person himself will be weighed. Another proof of this, on one occasion, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala climbed on a tree to break some twigs from his miswak. A gust of wind blew that caused the lungi to shift. His shins were revealed. His shins carved were very scrawny, very thin. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala Majmain standing at the bottom of the tree began to laugh. Nabi Akram asked them, Mimma talhakun. Why are you laughing? He said, Min diqqati saqayhi. Because of his shins, it was so scrawny, so thin. So Nabi Kareem said about Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَهُمَا أَثْقَلُ فِي الْمِيزَانِ مِنْ أُحُدٍ On the day of Qiyamah, when you will put on the pen of good deeds, you will weigh even more than a mountain of Uhud. Another view is that our books of deeds will be weighed. Proof of that, hadith will be taqa in Tirmidhi Sharif. Person will come 99 journals of evil deeds in the pen of evil deeds. He will think I am doomed. فِيهِ ذُنُوبُهُ وَسَيِّئَاتُهُ فَيُقَالَ لَهُ أَتُنْكِرُ مِنْ هَذَا شَيْئًا He will be asked, here is the record of your evil deeds. Do you deny anything? He will say, La, no. Then Allah Ta'ala will give him good news. إِنَّ لَكَ عِنْدَنَا حَسَنًا We have a good deed of yours with us. فَيُوتَى بِبِطَاقَةِ فِيهَا أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ Small piece of paper will be brought to be put on an empty pen of good deeds. On it will be written, شهادتين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله The hadith says فرجحت البطاقة That pen will tip the scale in his favor. through outrage, through 99 channels of evil deeds. A third view is that Allah Ta'ala will give a physical form to our actions. Abdullah bin Abbas says, Al-A'mal yatajassadu. And proof of this, one hadith, a man will go into the solitude, darkness of his qabr, righteous person, all of a sudden, the grave will light up, a handsome person will appear, with fragrance emanating from his body, beautiful clothing. To give comfort to him, he will ask, Man anta? He will get the reply, Ana amaluka salih. I am the manifestation of your good deeds. And the final view, preponderant view, Allah Ta'ala has power over everything. Even in its abstract, intangible form, Allah will be able to weigh our deeds. Today is not far-fetched. Blood sugar is something abstract, intangible. Yet we have instruments that can measure blood sugar. Instruments that can measure fever. Instruments that can measure many other ailments of our body. So in this day of technology, nothing far-fetched. So there will be a physical scale. Imam Bukhari says, further, وَأَنَّ أَعْمَالَ بْنِ آدَمَ وَقَوْلَهُمْ يُوزَنْ. Actions and even the words of mankind will be weighed. Mujahid says, الْقِسْطَاطُ الْعَدْلُ بِالرُّومِيَّةِ. Qistat means justice in the Roman dialect, in Latin. This itself is a complete different discussion. No time left. According to some ulama, there are no foreign words in the Quran Kareem. All are Arabic words. So even though some words have Hebrew origin, Aramaic origin, Abyssinian origin, or like this word, Roman origin, but when two communities intermingle, their vocabularies become interspersed. One community embraces the words of the second community and becomes part of the first community's vocabulary. So these words have become Arabicized, known as Mu'arrab. They are no longer foreign words, they have become Arabic words. But others like Allama Suyuti Rahmatullahi, Tajuddin Subki, they say they are non-Arabic words in the Quran, but it's a drop in the ocean. Tajuddin Subki says there are 27 words. Hafim al-Hajar adds on another 24, makes it 51. Allama Suyuti adds on 60, makes it 111. Another opinion added 72, makes it 123. In the Quran there are more than 70,000 words. So 100 words are dropped in the ocean. So it does not contradict the Quranic verses, bilisan in Arabiyyin mubin, and inna anzalna al-Quran al-Arabiyya, that we have revealed the Quran in the Arabic language. Based on the maxim, lil akthar hukm al-kul. And then he says, al-qist is the root word of muqsid. Where the students, you know, root word of muqsid from ma bi-if'al should be iqsat. But he's going to the original source. Masdar of masdar is qist. That's the original masdar. And that means adil, to be just. Wa amma al-qasid, huwa ja'ir. And qasid means oppressor, a tyrant. Mentioned in Surah Al-Jinn, verse number 15, وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا. The oppressors will become fuel for the fire of Jahannam. Some words have dual meanings. In English, we know of synonyms, antonyms, this is known as a contronym. That one word can have dual meanings depending on the context of where it is used. For example, in English, to dust, we say the servant dusted the room, which means he removed dust particles from the room. But we said the lady in the kitchen, she dusted the cake. That means she sprinkled icing sugar onto the cake. So adding particles instead of removing particles. So the word dust having different meanings. So yet, so depending on the context, this could mean justice. In another word, means oppression, injustice. Then the hadith given And Rasul Karim Sahib says, there are two phrases beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Habibatan ila Rahman. Here the predicate is brought before the subject. Sometimes the predicate is brought forward to arouse curiosity in the listener. So our curiosity is aroused. We want to know what are the two phrases that are beloved to Allah. We want to know about it. Looking forward. That hadith goes on to say, Khafifatan ala lisan. We are not told yet what are the two phrases. We become more anxious, more restless. We want to know. We thought it is beloved to Allah. Maybe they are difficult to pronounce. Maybe they are tongue twisters. But no, easy flowing on the tongue. And then, Saqilatan fil mizan. This is the point related to the chapter heading, that these words that we utter, these phrases will be put on the scale and they will bear heavy on the scale. The name of Allah is there. It comes in the hadith. لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَفْقَلُ مِنْ إِسْمِ اللَّهِ. Nothing is heavier than the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you become more anxious, you will bear heavy on the scale. What are these words? Then eventually we are told, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. These are the two phrases. Imam Bukhari has a habit, when he ends any section of the kitab, he ends it in such a subtle, intelligent way that it reminds us of the Akhirat. Brings the Akhirat before us. So by bringing these phrases, reminding us of the Akhirat, that our deeds will be weighed, bringing this work at the end of the kitab, indicating the day you leave the world, leave with the name of Allah on your lips. Allah Ta'ala make us among those fortunate people who will leave the world with the kalima on our lips, or at least the name of Allah on our lips. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, that's also good enough. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, من قال سبحان الله وبحمده مئة مرة في يوم حطت عنه خطاياه وإن كانت مثل زبد البحر أو كما قال لصلاة السلام. These are two phrases. You get more reward. That hadith says even if you say that one phrase, only سبحان الله وبحمده 100 times a day, all your sins will be forgiven, even if they are equal to the foam of the ocean. So we need to always remain engaged in the dhikr of Allah, keep our tongues moist with tilawat of the Quran, dhikr of Allah, sending durood upon Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We make dua Allah Ta'ala accepts this completion. Allah Ta'ala accepts the students for the cause of deen, make them practicing ulama, make them ulama rabbaniyin, use them as beacons of hidayat for the entire world inshallah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء. اللهم يا حنان يا منان يا بديع السماوات والأرض ويا جلال الإكرام يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وعورة وذنب وخطية. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من الداعين واجعلنا من الذين يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر واجعلنا من الذين لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وعملا متقبلا والشفاء من كل داء. الله الله of the takmeel completion of Bukhari Sharif, Allah. You forgive all our sins, Allah. Our minor and major sins, Allah. The sins that we have committed in public, Allah, you forgive them as well. Those that you committed in secret behind closed doors, forgive all those sins as well, Allah. Allah, let our slate be clean of sinning, Allah. Give us the tawfiq ability to abstain totally from sinning, Allah. Every time we commit a sin because of our weakness, Allah. Allah, let us focus towards you immediately to seek pardon for our sins, O Allah. Allah, forgive all our sins. for him the sins of the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah accept the completion of his students, O Allah. Allah make them ulama rabbaniyin. Allah use them for the furtherance of your deen, O Allah. Let them spread the nur of the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout the entire world, O Allah. Let them be practicing ulama who practice upon the Quran, practice upon the hadith, the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, throughout the entire world, wherever there are madaris al-diniya of the ulama al-haqqa, wherever, Allah, there are khankhas, Allah, makam al-raqiz al-tabdir, Allah, wherever any dini effort is taking place, Allah, accept all those efforts, Allah. Allah, let those efforts show fruit throughout the entire world. Let the winds of hidayah spread throughout the entire world, Allah. Allah, through the barakah of the khatam, Allah. We know Allah, Allah, throughout the entire Muslim world, Muslims are being oppressed, are being and the tyranny at the moment, places like Palestine, Gaza, places like Sudan, Kashmir, other places of the world, Allah. Allah, Allah, you show mercy on the plight of the Ummah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These oppressors, these are oppressing the Muslim Ummah, Allah. You give them hidayat first and foremost. Hidayat is in your hands. Make them our brethren. Make them mu'mineen. So they desist from the oppression. They become our brothers, Allah. But Allah, if hidayat is not meant for them, at least hold back the hands of oppression, Allah. Women have become widowed, Allah. Children have become orphaned, Allah, because of the relentless bombing, the relentless oppression, Allah. Allah, you hold back the hands of oppression, Allah. Allah, if they are not prepared to desist from this, Allah, you pick up the scum, Allah, from the face of the earth. Remove this filth from the face of this earth, Allah. Grant peace and serenity. Grant tranquility to the Ummah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, you embed in our heart the beauty and the value of the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us embrace the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every walk of our lives, in our dressing, in our eating, our drinking, in our sleeping, in our weddings, in our janazas, Allah. Let us implement every single sunnah of Rasulullah Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all walks of life, Allah. Allah, those who have requested us to make dua for them, especially on this occasion, Allah, you know the needs in the heart, Allah. You fulfill all the permissible needs, Allah. Allah, those who are in any form of difficulty, remove the difficulties, Allah. Those who are indebted, Allah. Allah, make means for the payment of the debts, Allah. Those who are in any type of illness, ailment, Allah. Allah, you out to the unseen, Allah. Grant them full shifa. Grant them cure from all the ailments, from all the sicknesses, Allah. Allah, let this madrasa and every madrasa of the Ahlus Sunnah Jamaat throughout the world grow from strength to strength, Allah. Let these madaris become beacons of hidayah for the entire world, Allah. Let Islam spread from these madaris. Let Islam spread from the Tablighi Marakiz. Let Islam spread from the Khanqah and Diniya, Allah. Allah, you accept all the efforts of deen that are taking place throughout the world, Allah. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك المدار ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.